Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Hey, this morning I want to talk to you about a topic. This is the last message in a series called Roadmaps. And this particular message in this series is called How to Live a Life Above a Fence. And there we have a little play on words there. Above, who likes to be above a fence? Anybody? last night I preached this message and Andrew Tyndale spoke to me afterwards and said, you must be jet lagged because you missed all these amazing opportunities for puns. So then he proceeded to send me a whole bunch via text, which is awesome. And he nailed it. And and this message pales into insignificance. There you go. I hate to be defensive, but anyway, that's all I got. I could keep going, but I won't. I need to get into the message. Stop me, please. Someone's view nodding. Please stop that guy. So the issue of offense. Everybody say offense. There is a thing in our world called offense. It entered the world. The genesis of offense is when Adam and Eve fell. Thousands of years ago, they sinned. And when they sinned, they offended God. And since then, offense has become a barrier between us and God and between us and other people. And so offense has become part of our world. We get offended and we offend and we're offended against God. God sent his son Jesus to sort this issue out. And he, thank goodness, he created a plan of redemption to remove this. However, what happens is in life, offense happens. Offense takes place at some level. In fact, probably daily at some level, there is some measure of offense that we're either receiving or causing. So this morning, we're going to hopefully come up with some great biblical answers. And my heart, and I know the heart of all the team here, anybody who preaches this stage, my heart is this, that I desire to give spiritual answers to practical problems. Because at the core of problems are not practical. The outcome is practical, whether it be sickness or some emotional or soulful or physical or spiritual issue, but the cause of these issues is spiritual. So therefore, we've got to find the spiritual answers to it. Who believes that? Anyone? Right. So today, we're going to come up with three answers to this issue of offense. Now, offense is no small thing. Offense causes the breakdown of relationships at every facet of life and every level of society. It causes the breakdown of relationships in marriage, family, partnerships, businesses, dare I say, even at a racial level, there are tensions and offenses across political borders. There is offenses that have caused wars. In fact, most wars are probably caused by some measure of offense, whether it be personally or politically. Because the answer is not some peace talk, whether it be a relational peace talk or a national one. The answer is the answers that God brings. And that's what we need to discover this morning. So today, in the moments we've got left, I want to talk about three key biblical answers to the issue of offense. Let me just say this, is that offense will happen. Offense will continue to happen. Well, at least the opportunity for offense won't cease. In fact, I've discovered this. The more you go on in life, the more offense or the opportunity for it comes your way. How exciting is that? I thought I'd give you the good news this morning. And it's funny, you know, because in preparing for this message, even over the last few days, there have been a couple of situations that arrived around my world, our world, and for offense, you know, it's been an awesome opportunity. Bernie and I were driving along going, it just suddenly dawned on me, like, I'm preaching on this thing, and then all these wonderful opportunities come my way. And of course, that's the deal, is that, and they will come your way in a station near you this week as I'm preaching, as you're hearing my voice. See, right now, change isn't happening because change does not happen through the hearing of the Word of God. Change happens through the application of the Word of God. So as you leave today, I want you to take the revelation of this message, because undoubtedly within 24 hours you'll have opportunity to use it. And I pray that either in a situation that you're currently facing or in the next few days will face, please, can I urge you, use this stuff, because this is hopefully of some high take-home value. So who's ready to receive this morning? Anyone? All right, just lift your hands out right now, just where it's just sitting in your seat right now. Father, I thank you. Here we are. We're ready to receive your word. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits. Let us hear things, Father, that we need to hear. And God, I pray you'd bless me as I deliver this word, that I would be purely your vessel, not my thoughts or ideas, but yours. And God, I pray this word would be delivered to every life in the way they need to hear it, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Okay, so here's the deal. Three answers. Number one, the cross. Everybody say the cross. The cross, I've preached a lot this year about the cross. I've had a fresh revelation of the cross. We need to keep going back to the cross. The cross is both simple and profound. And there's a lot more in it than people realize. People think, oh, the cross, salvation, yeah, I got the cross. There's so much that happened on the cross I think we need to keep being reminded of the power and the intensity and the level of application to our lives that the cross has. Check out this scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, in the Darby version. Some of you have never heard that version. And you being dead in your offenses and sins. Once we started offending God, we died. A death of our life happened. But God has an answer. As we read the New International Version of this passage of scripture, we see this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. It's interesting, isn't it? The scriptures say that we followed two things. We followed the ways of the world and we followed the ruler of the kingdom of this world. By living an offensive life, we are following those things. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3. It says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not from yourselves, as the gift of God. Man, this just keeps getting better. Verse 9, not by works so that no one can boast. And I love this last verse. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's good news, isn't it? There's a lot in there. I think the Lord deserves a hand just for that. Come on. All right. Here's the deal. There are two levels of offense. The first thing that the cross dealt with is our offense of God. And it's not like he's emotionally offended. It's not like he's in heaven going, I'm so offended and I'm so hurt and injured. No, when we sinned, we broke the law of God and we caused a breach in our relationship, in our connection with him. And the thing is, that breach had to be mended. We weren't the ones to mend the breach. We had no power, no wisdom, no strength, no ability to mend that breach. But guess who did? God did. So God, when we were dead in our transgressions, dead in our offenses towards God, he said, I'm going to send Jesus. I'm going to act. I'm going to be the first to act. So one of the things I want to talk about today, this whole theme here, is that when you're a believer, you're the first to mend the breach. You're the first. Once you get healed of your offenses and healed of your offenses towards God, one of the keys to Christianity is you're the first one to act and to bridge the breach that has taken place. Well, in our case, God was the first one to act. Thank God for that, right? So by his grace, not our works, he said, I'm going to reopen the channels of connection between him and us. So now we have open channel between us and God. How cool is that? Right now, sitting in this service, you can have a thought, a prayer, a worship to God, and He will hear you. He will respond to you. The Bible says that you can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Any time of day, any moment you want, in any situation you have access back to God. That's great news, isn't it? The breach has been mended. The offense has been healed. We are no longer have offense towards God. So here is God and us. There was a breach, but that has been healed by the work of the cross, which is awesome. However, it doesn't end there, because here's the deal. Once we made the offense towards God and offense entered the world, we then started to offend one another. So I offend, I get offended, and this whole deal of not just my relationship with God being breached, but my relationship with other people regularly being breached. And it will keep happening. So God has placed in the cross, which is in the cross and in the blood shed on the cross, He has created the answer to this breach. And check this out. In the very same chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, which is done by the body of human hands." I love that little sort of historical unpackaging by Paul. And I'll just quickly cover it right now. Basically, he's about to give you a very powerful piece of theology, but he uses an example that they were living in that day to explain what he wants to explain, which is this, is that in this group of people were the Jews. Over here were anybody who was not Jewish. The Jews hated the Gentiles, and the Gentiles hated the Jews. And they were at odds with one another. In fact, the Jews called themselves, in inverted commas, and it was a title, that we are the circumcised. In fact, they said, "We are the circumcision. We are the circumcision." They called themselves that. I have a theory that they just felt like they were cut above the rest. That's the best response to that joke I've ever had. Some of you are like, guys cringed. Anyway, so. But over here were the Gentiles. They were the uncircumcised. So Paul is using this example to talk about the tension between races. There's an offense. And you know, if you've read the Gospels, how many times did Jesus break the offense? Where he went and spoke to Gentiles, when he went and spoke to Samaritans, when he went to spoke to women who were not meant to be spoken to, he broke their sense of cultural sensibility, and in that was offending them. Now I'll get to that in a second. But here we have this whole concept in the gospel. Check this out, next verse. It says, "Remember that you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel," that's hard to say, "foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now," everybody say "but now." "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away," these guys, "have been brought near" by what? Peace talks? No, the blood of Christ. "For He Himself is our peace." Oh, that is awesome. "He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the breach, the dividing wall of hostility." In the Old Testament, if Gentiles became Jews, they would allow to come and worship, but they had a wall in the middle of the temple, and the Jews would stand sit on one side and the Gentiles on the other. He's literally talking about a literal wall, but it's also a racial wall. It's a soul wall. It's a battle wall. It's an offensive wall. And then he goes on, "By setting aside in his flesh all of its commands from regulations, his purpose was to create himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile," everybody say "reconcile," "both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." That is awesome. Okay, so here we have in the cross, there's me and there's you. We now, with each other, have peace. And we both have access to the Father. The cross is the most unifying piece of human history. The cross unifies us under one name. called God. And it isn't just unity between us and God, because too many Christians live an isolated, I have access to God. But here's the other deal. I now have access to a relationship with other people, particularly those whom the previously have offended me. So the question is, who are we offended by? Are we offended by another a type of person, a race of person, a group of people, or an individual who's done something to us? The point is that God gives us access out of offense to live an offense-free life. You'll be the happiest, most fulfilled, most successful in your relationships person if you look at these issues that we're talking about and get access to the cross. Get a hold of the cross every day and say, Lord, I let go of any offense. I let go of any offense or issue I have with anyone or anyone has with me. And what Paul said this. Paul said, as much as is up to me, I live at peace with all men. Some people will not live at peace with you, but if it's up to you, you live at peace with them, which is an awesome thing. Okay, number one, the cross. Number two, the rock. Number two is the rock. Everybody say the rock. Check out this. Some of you, for some of you, maybe an obscure scripture in 1 Peter. It says, and it's a description of Jesus, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus is a rock of offense. Jesus and the cross are designed to offend. I'll just let that hang for a second. You mean Jesus is offensive? Yes. It's meant that way. Jesus is offensive. Why? Because the cross, by definition, is an assault upon human intelligence. It is meant to confound the wise. It is meant to confuse, because only the simple of heart and the humble of spirit can see it. That's why Jesus regularly through the Gospels would say this, to him who has ears to hear, to him who has eyes to see, let them hear and let them see. To who? What do you mean? Because he was saying it, but it's ironic that many of the people who were listening could not hear. Why? Because their hearts were cold and hard, and they could not, and they were offended at him. All the way through the Gospels, Jesus offended people. In his own hometown, he went to preach, and the local people were offended at him because he was just Mary and Joseph's son. And it actually says in Matthew 13, it says, and they took offense at him, and they could do no major miracle. He could do no major miracle in his own hometown because they could not believe. Offense causes the breakdown of our relationship with God and relationship with others. But here's the deal. You know the story of Peter. Peter was an interesting character. I can't wait to meet him, because he is such an inspiration. But he regularly offended people, and he regularly was offended. In fact, right on the last day, the day before Jesus' death, Jesus offended him and said, Peter, you will deny me. Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter was offended at that. He said, no way, there's no way in the world it's going to happen. Whatever, surely within a couple of hours' time, he was asked if he knew Christ, and he denied Christ. But here's the deal. If we take on the offense of Christ, we become bigger than the offense of people. And as we understand, as we take on that offense, as you believe in God, as you declare your faith in Christ and declare your trust in the cross of Jesus, it's taking on an offense. And it is offensive, but if you can take on that offense, you actually become immune to the offense of people. Most people, and the scripture says that Jesus is a rock. And I believe this is you got two options. You either fall on the rock and you are broken, or the rock falls on you. Who would much rather fall on the rock than the rock fall on them? That's how. He is the rock of offense, a stumbling stone. A stumbling stone to those who don't believe. But here's the deal: as we stumble over that rock and we allow our lives to break into the presence of God and who He is and what He represents and the simplicity of this message, and not be offended by that, but let the offense of Christ live on the inside of us, then nothing can offend us. No, we're above all other offense, because nothing is worth being offended about other than that. So that's good news, isn't it? Okay, the rock. Number three. The gate. It's a great passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 2. It says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or grasp. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And then that's it. So here's the deal, is that God wants to... The whole issue of the gate. God wants to take us from... not that place. The world, to the kingdom, to the church, to servanthood. God wants all of us to go from this place, from being people who don't know God, so these people can't see Christ. These people believe in Christ. These people belong in Christ. But servants are dead in Christ. More good news for you. God's ultimate place for us to arrive at is servanthood, and then we're dead. Why? A dead person is unoffendable. You try to offend a dead person? Impossible. They're there, they're dead, you go, you're ugly. They don't care. I know it's a crazy analogy, but that's the deal. If you're dead, you're unoffendable. People in the world who can't see Christ are offended all the time. Can't tell you how many people that I've talked to, especially in my early years as a social worker, and people in every situation, and their parents offended them, and this offended them, and their whole life is dealing with offense. Most TV shows are about offense. Most TV dramas are about the crazy stuff that happens in the world, and it's people offending each other all over the place. People in the kingdom who believe in Christ, they get offended as well. The people who get offended the most, I've found, is people in the church. Because in the church, you want to belong. You want to connect. You feel for the first time a sense of acceptance and belonging, and that's awesome. But if you just stay there and don't become a servant of Christ, then you'll actually, your expectations will go higher than life's ability to meet those expectations. Because offense happens in the context of unmet expectations. But when you become a servant of Christ, you so lower your expectations. It's almost like you don't have any expectations. I love that. I remember hearing Pastor Phil saying that years ago. He said, I expect very little from people. He said, when I get anything, I'm surprised. And that may sound like a little sort of negative, but it's not. It's actually a great way to live. It's how Christ lived. Jesus said this. Check this out. One of his things that he said, I do not entrust myself to any man because I know what is in the heart of man. And he wasn't saying that from an insecure perspective. In fact, he was secure. He knew who he was in God. He knew who he was called to be. So he was secure. He was dead. So the gateway, each one of these progressions of Christ-likeness has a gateway. The gateway into the kingdom is through the gateway of revelation. The gateway into the church is through the gateway of commitment. Everybody say commitment. And there's a lot of committed Christians. A lot of committed Christians. I'm committed. Some of you think I should be committed. But I feel commitment is important. What does commitment mean? Commitment means arriving at church regularly. It means tithing. That's commitment. But God has something more for you. He has a level of spiritual and soul experience that does not exist at a commitment level. It exists at this next level. And you don't want to hear this word. This is an ugly word. Who's ready for it? Anybody? The gateway into servanthood is to the gateway of submission. And the submission gate is really low. The submission gate is super low. The submission gate is, hey, my needs, my desires, my affirmation, my need to be affirmed is less than somebody else's. And it's interesting, some people can be committed people, but not submitted people. And I've met a lot of Christians who are committed. They're at everything, for everything. They're committed. There we go. But as soon as a challenge to their self-esteem or their identity or their role or their purpose or their ideal or their culture is challenged, then the opportunity to walk through the submission gate comes in front of them. And the journey from being committed to being submitted for some people is a long journey, and some people never take that journey. People get offended at the church, they get offended at leaders, they get offended at that person, they get offended at another Christian. But I'm telling you, once you get that to that stage, then you'll live above offense. You will live above it. And even within your own relationships with in your family and your marriage and your children, what have you, if you have low expectations but high grace. Many people reverse that. They have high expectations and low grace. And you will be a frustrated person who constantly is involved in conflict and tension that is unnecessary. But I believe if we live with an open-spirited, open-hearted approach to people, have low expectations, and really, ultimately, the needs that need to be met by our life are going to be met by God anyway. And here's the deal. Jesus humbled himself, even to the point of death. Check this out though. In due season, exalted him above every other name. Because here's the deal. God's aim for you is not humility. God's aim for you is exaltation. But the pathway to it is that. And he was the most offended person on earth, I believe Jesus was. His closest friends rejected him. The people that he was born amongst, the Jewish brothers and sisters, were the ones who actually nailed him to the cross. His family rejected him. Every single person on the face of the earth. And he died naked, absolutely naked on a cross, being rejected and killed by the very people and by the very world that he was there to save. He took every single offense of us towards God and us towards one another on that cross. And we now, and that offense of the cross, the simplicity of that message is the only offense we carry in our heart. Other than that, we are so unoffendable and we are so free in what God has for us. That's great news, isn't it? And so every part of our world. So hopefully that helped a little bit this morning. My desire for you, our desire for you, is that you live a life that's free, that you live a life that has healthy relationships in it. And listen, there are many tools that the world has to offer in terms of us getting better relationships, but none of them are better than the answers that the Bible gives us, which are far more core in our world. And that's you. You're free, submitted, open person this morning, which is blessed.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.